Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Cowboys, Commanders, Sunday, 9 o'clock pregame, kickoff at noon. I think this is the first time, maybe ever, I've had a little bit of relief that a Cowboys season is going to end. I'm looking forward to the rest of the NFL games. Anyone else have
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the playoffs because, like,
because I said this the other day when you were out, this feels like, for me, the longest Dallas Cowboys season that I can remember. Bobby said it felt short and quick. That's what she said. But the Cleveland game feels like 3 years ago.
Oh man, that's interesting. I think it's gone quick.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's gone. It's felt it. Maybe I'm getting more into football, and you're leaving. I'm not leaving,
but you're definitely getting more into.
Are you finally watching more football than
that's
John?
Right, absolutely.
As much.
I will say this. I've been really like the last 2 or 3 weeks of the NFL season have felt like they've dragged on a little bit.
Yeah.
Because college has been so important because of the playoff, and the NFL has put some real crap games out there, even though they've been on like every damn day. It seems like the NFL has been on almost every night over the last 2 weeks. There's been some bad games.
Why did the NFL not flip Ravens, Browns, and Steelers, Bengals?
What do you mean?
Like, why not have Bengals and Steelers play earlier in the day before the Ravens play?
Because that will that determine the Bengals' outcome?
No, though the Bengals
Steelers is Monday Night Football.
No, it's Saturday.
No, but Baltimore's not clinched the division yet.
Okay,
and so if Baltimore wins this game, they clinch the division, which means then Pittsburgh has nothing to play for. Cincinnati's still playing for something, but Pittsburgh has nothing to play for if Baltimore wins earlier in the day.
Oh, Bengals Steelers is like a Monday Night Football presentation. It's on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so earlier in the day on Saturday, they'll already have Baltimore play.
I don't know if you can flex those. I think you can only flex Sunday night.
I would think the league could adjust times, though.
I don't know. Contact the league. Cowboys, Commanders.
Those connections.
No, you really don't.
Yeah, I think it has to be that they're going to be on the same network, right? They'll probably be on.
All right, Chop. Yeah. Let's get your preview for Sunday. And the five things that you want to see.
All right. Five things I want to see. Five totally different things that I want to see. Number one, I want to see Trey Lance. I want to see what he can do with players that are actually NFL caliber.
Mm.
You want to see just how bad it can get.
Right. Number two, I want to see Trey Lance.
By the way, when you hear McCarthy with us at 8:40 and we ask him about Trey Lance, it felt like he was searching for positives. Mm-hmm. Didn't it?
Yeah.
Am I the only one? It felt like he was, his fundamentals are better.
Yep.
Like, he must be as bad as we saw in preseason and training camp.
Yep. So, number one, Trey Lance with players. Number two, I want to see Trey Lance and what he has against players that are NFL caliber.
Oh!
Right? Preseason, those aren't NFL players. Those are practice squad guys. So, Trey Lance with players. Trey Lance against players.
Oh, probably 10 interceptions then.
Number three, I want to see Trey Lance. I want to see if the fourth round pick was a complete waste or a total waste.
Okay.
All right, which kind of waste was that fourth round pick they gave for him? Number four, I want to see Trey Lance. I want to see what Mike McCarthy could do to develop a young quarterback. That's what I really want to see. And then number five.
I think we've seen it. He's not on the field.
I want to see no punts. I want to see no field goals. I want to see no extra points. I don't want Brandon Aubrey to dress. I don't want whoever the punter is to dress anger. Don't want him to dress either. Okay. I want to see, just go for it. There's no point. If they go out there and they kick a field goal to cut it a 10, a 14 zip game to 14-3, I'm going to be like, come on, what are we doing out here? No punts, no field goals, no extra points. Just go.
Anything you want to preview? I have my big statement on the game, but you can do your Bobby film room preview of whatever you want first. What's Washington playing for?
Washington could go up a seed. Like, they can avoid playing Philadelphia is basically what they can do. And Joe Witt yesterday or 2 days ago was like, oh, we absolutely got something to play for. Which, I mean, gosh, that was his MO here in Dallas with people was like, oh, that's football guy, like Mr. Like toughness, and let's, you know, this is what we need, this is what we want. And so no surprise that he'd be talking that way. But
the spread right now is 6. Over under is 43.5.
That was 3 at the start. So it moved another 3 points after that. I'm going to be interested to see if Cooper Rush plays just from the incentive standpoint. I will say I thought Mike McCarthy was good this morning. I don't know that I totally buy he didn't know that Cooper Rush maybe has an incentive that he's playing for.
Explain the incentives.
So if Cooper Rush basically plays, the Cowboys would need to play essentially 65 snaps in the game on Sunday. If they play 65 plays, Cooper Rush would need to play all of them to get to 55% of the snaps for the team this year. When he gets to 55%, he basically gets a $250,000 raise because he's already hit the $250,000 incentive for 45% of team playing time. He's got another one that if he plays 55% of the team snaps in the season, he gets $500,000. And that builds. That's not like $250,000 plus $500,000. And so it's an extra $250,000 that he could get. And if they don't let him out there to get it, that would be a little bit problematic. But do they want to see something with Trey Lance?
Let's predict the Trey Lance playing time. What are they going to do with it?
What's the score at halftime?
I don't know.
He plays
14-6, Washington.
He'll play 8 snaps.
I know they've genuinely.
Who will?
Trey.
Okay.
I know they've genuinely discussed it this week. Like, they're genuinely internally trying to figure out if he was going to start this week. I'm going to go ahead and say he does start.
He starts.
That's my guess.
How much money has Cooper Rush made in his career?
It's a good question. I don't know. $8-9 million probably.
Because Cooper sounds like the kind of guy that, like, if he's made $10-15 million his career, he might, and he's going to play next year. He strikes me as the kind of guy like they'd be like, dude, let him play. I'm going to get $250,000 anyway. My $9 million.
He's made $9 million throughout his 7 years.
I can see him doing that.
I'll guess it's split in the first half, second half.
I could see Dallas, honestly.
Does it make them look really bad if Lance plays the second half and Rush doesn't hit the bonus?
Yes, I think so. So I think
now, yeah, what if Cooper comes out and says after the game, I told him to go put Trey and give him some playing time.
Sure, but I mean, I think they would have already had that established in their mind, and they don't want the optics of that, so they would just start Trey. And they'd say, you know what? There's not even a guarantee. There have been a couple times we only got 60 plays in this season, so there's no guarantee. We don't know. So I think that's how they would play it.
All right, I'm not going to pick a winner. I don't care. Well, I do care, but I don't care to analyze it and break it down.
I care. I'm not shaving my head.
Oh, well, that's what I'm about to get to, and I don't know if RJ Choppy's fully aware. I just want the Cowboys to lose. I want the Cowboys to lose for many reasons. Number one, for the draft pick. Tankathon has them at number 13 right now. They are tied with Indianapolis and Arizona with 7-9 records. Indianapolis picks 12, Cowboys 13, Arizona 14. I want the Cowboys to lose because of that. Number two, I want the Cowboys to lose because, RJ, just a refresher and a reminder, if the Cowboys lose, Bobby Belt has to shave his head bald live on the show.
What was the bet? 7-10?
I said they wouldn't win more than 7 games.
Which you really... I want to give you a little bit of a break on this because you, along with some people on G-Bag, I can't remember who exactly said what, for you to say that the season would be this bad, now you got the benefit of Dak getting hurt, but they sucked with Dak. You look really good from a Cowboy prediction standpoint because it's just very easy and chalky to say 10-11, 10-11, 10-11 wins, but someone on G-Bag went out of their way as well. So I dislike, but I also love that you're going to get punished if they end up losing. You didn't have to say that low of a win total. You could have given yourself like even another win and been right about predicting an under 500 season. But with a win, bald Bobby.
Okay. So they have to win.
Dallas has to win in order for me to shave my head.
Okay, so they get to 8 wins. Bobby shaves his head.
Yeah.
I get you.
So you're going to be pulling hard for the Cowboys on Sunday.
Well, yeah.
You would love that.
I also pulling hard because...
Oh, wait. That doesn't make sense in my list of reasons why I want the Cowboys to lose. So I need the Cowboys... Oh, man.
You win.
Are you going to do it, by the way, or are we going to bring somebody in here to shave my head?
Because if they pick 16th versus 12th, you're just paying Ashton Jeanty 4 slots lower of money.
I would still rather the Cowboys, even with Bobby's head getting bald, I would still rather the Cowboys lose the game. I want the draft pick because the third thing and the most important thing is leave no doubt and any excuse for Jerry and Steven to keep things the same. Not that this game is probably going to have any effect anyway, but if they somehow won 30-13, any little nugget, any little crumb that they could use to keep the culture in place, that is what I've been fighting against the most. Team Tank has not been number one, number two, number three about the draft pick. It has been about knowing that your way of doing things isn't good enough for a Super Bowl. Okay? The Metroplex has not, maybe the last month changed it with Bobby's rant. The Metroplex doesn't care about your 12-win seasons and your first-round playoff berth. No one cares. It doesn't mean anything. Maybe for you and your relevance and your merchandise and your ticket sales and your attendance, maybe it does. The fans don't care. And that is what I've been fighting against the most throughout the year. So I'll pick Washington, but I definitely want the Cowboys to lose. That's my number one thing.
Is there anything that can occur in this game on Sunday you think that impacts McCarthy's future?
Yeah, if they win, maybe if they win 33-6.
Do you think that would sway Jerry if he's really
on the
fence?
I don't know if it sways. Like, it could have a potential impact. Like I said, if they haven't made their mind up, it's ridiculous. It's malpractice.
If he starts, let's consider this. He starts Trey Lance. Trey Lance goes out there and...
Who starts him, Jerry or Mike?
Mike. Okay. Mike starts Trey Lance. Let's say Trey Lance goes out here. They win the game 42-6.
Yeah.
Trey Lance goes 25-30, 415 yards and 5 touchdowns. It's like,
so we landed on the moon again.
Like you do something
like
that.
Did we land the first time?
All right. In a Hollywood parking lot.
Why haven't we gone back?
When you watch, if you see him do something like that, would something that aggressive be enough to get into Jerry's head of like, oh my gosh, look what he developed Trey. Could he do something more? What else could he do with this offense? Maybe there is some hope here. Would it have to be something that extreme to maybe tilt it?
No. I think that's not possible
because Trey would have started. If they would have developed them, like he would have
he's
started.
He's just a gamer, Sean.
Oh,
he's just a gamer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, the point, though, is that Jerry would go, man, we had seen in practice this wasn't very good, and look what Mike got out of him here. Look, what a game plan. Yeah, what a coach.
Good or bad, I don't think there's anything that impacts this week. I mean, and if it does, like, shame on that. Like, you've had 5 years to evaluate. It's the same thing with Dak. What are you looking for?
By the way, I will be paying attention to Commander safety Jeremy Reeves. After they clinched the playoffs and that Sunday night win over the Falcons, he dropped down and proposed to his girlfriend.
Oh, aww. Yes.
Well, unfortunately for him, a woman came out of the woodwork. Her username on Twitter, only Kia, K-I-A-A-A.
Cooking with Kaya.
And she came out and said, oh, really? Really? Not the same man who was in my DMs trying to fly me out and blank. I think the blank not. Party? And she was showing some receipts on messing around on Jeremy Reeves. So he dropped down for the proposal. And then a supposed side piece, and this girl posts some. My gosh, my computer almost got a virus looking at this girl's Twitter.
So you said you were going to have an eye on him, or you were rooted against it? How did you set that up with Jeremy?
I'm going to be aware of him.
Oh, okay. So
I'm not rooting for or against. Okay. I don't give a crap who he sleeps with. I don't care about their marriage or their happiness. I'm just aware of the name Jeremy Reeves, and I did not know the name before.
I did not know the name either.
All right, 877-881-1053, Franco LaFranco Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station, and then you on Kingsbury Watch.
I am on Kingsbury Watch, which, by the way, yesterday Caleb Williams was getting pressed a little Or like, how nice would it be to have Cliff Kingsbury though, Caleb? Look, he'd be a good coach. So people are trying to hit Caleb with the Cliff connection. But Cliff yesterday was talking to the Washington media and had a little bit of a funny moment. He was talking about a receiver, Olamide Zaccheaus, who goes by his initials, O-Z. That's what Oz. He goes by, okay? Because that's easier. What'd you say?
Oz,
yeah. That's what Cliff Kingsbury thought.
And he's a guy that in training camp, no. I was blown away by just how talented he was inside, outside. I actually used to call him Oz for the first like 2 months of knowing him. And nobody would tell me that his name wasn't Oz, even him. So one day, Deami comes up and says, yo, dude, he really doesn't like Oz. I'm like, well, it literally says O-Z. He's like, it's O-Z. So it's like the widest mistake ever. But he has forgiven me and he's played really well. But great, great person, works really hard. It's cool to see him take advantage of those chances.
Cliff's so likable. I like Cliff.
Widest mistake ever.
Widest mistake ever. I would have thought Oz too if I saw it spelled like that.
He should have called him Ounce.
Mike McCarthy at 8:40 this morning. The Dallas Stars continue to get it done, and Bobby wraps up the entire year as only he can.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Next on Sean and RJ.
Stars take over right off the draw. Shot, score, hits! And it's Dallas's turn.
A come-from-behind 4-2 win against Ottawa at the AAC on Victory Plus. Good morning, Metroplex. Happy Friday to y'all. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. Stars have now won 4 out of their last 5, and they leap over Colorado for the 3rd spot in the Central. Hintz continues to be on fire. Robertson continues to be on fire as well. And the Stars' homestand continues tomorrow night as they host Utah. Bobby, you're the hockey guy. Utah what?
Utah, that's a trick question. It's UHC, the Utah Hockey Club,
well
is what they go by.
Done.
I hope they settle.
Dear God, I was guessing.
I hope they settle the name Yeti, Utah Yeti.
Okay.
I'm just glad that state of Arizona lost something after Cam Scataboo. So I have a keen interest in them just from that perspective.
All right. We also have this to announce. The Rangers Winter Caravan Tour presented by Coca-Cola kicks off next Thursday evening in our 105 Through the Fan showroom downstairs. Tolo's stopping by. We're going to have free Whataburger for you to enjoy while it lasts. Ranger giveaways and starting at 6:30. Marcus Semien in the house. Autographs from Semien. Cody Bradford is going to be here as well. Free autographs. And then the fellas will join Jared Sandler for the fans' 2025 debut of Rangers Hot Stove from 7 to 8 p.m. It's going down for the Tolos in the performance showroom. So Jared Sandler, I guess, going to be back from his big vacation.
Yeah, he's going to give me a little write-up because, he's in the Europes.
He's going to give you a write-up or he's going to give it to Peyton to deliver to you?
Oh, yeah, he's going to give Peyton to deliver to me. Okay. Yeah, a little write-up of what to do when he goes to Italy, because that's where we're going to go. We go to Europe.
All right, Mike McCarthy, maybe for the final time, definitely for the final time this season, coming up at 8:40. Bobby, put a big fat bow on everything for us.
Yeah, let's hand out some end-of-the-year DFW Sports Awards. So I got several categories here. This is just going to relate to Dallas-area sports. And I've got nominees, and I want you guys to go ahead and vote on the winners for several of these awards.
All right, sir.
So we're going to lead off. Coach/Exec of the Year nominee in Dallas sports. We have 4 nominees. Nico Harrison, Jason Kidd, Jim Nill, Pete DeBoer. So nothing to Rangers and Cowboys get shut out on this one. This is, you can pick the Stars GM or coach or the Mavs GM or coach.
Oh, man, this is interesting I would have thought that Chris Young would have made it with his late surge.
Mm.
No. Late surge.
Yeah.
They had a strong December with some of their acquisitions.
The end of the last Rangers regular season?
No, the late surge, like the free agent and rebuilding the team for this coming year. They had a great December.
That doesn't cover over the moves made to get the Mavs to the finals and to get the Stars to, you know, that's not the same thing.
This is tough. This is
very, very difficult.
I could give it to any of the three.
Absolutely. A four, really. Because you got DeBoer. DeBoer, Nil, Kidd, and Nico.
I'm not giving it to Kidd. Kidd's the one I eliminated. Nico, Pete, or Nil.
Yeah, so it's like, to me, I think it's much more difficult to build a hockey team than an NBA team. NBA, you get, if you hit on the superstar, you're like.
But who made the most? I think you got to give credit for the year. We can't say what they've been building. Like for 2024. Right.
Yeah.
Who earns it? Nico, obviously, Kyrie, and then the huge big Gaffer
trade. Yeah.
The Gaffer trade. PJ. And then you know, obviously, Nil made the Tanev trade last year.
Nil's won back to back GM of the Year awards.
And then DeBoer. A hell of a coaching job.
He's done a tremendous job. Oh, man, it's tough.
Who would you give it to, Bob?
I'm going to give it to Jim Nil.
Who would you give it to? You are wearing the star sweater, Chris, between DeBoer and Nil. For last year.
Between DeBoer and Nil, I have to give it to DeBoer because, I mean, three seasons as the coach nearly now, and they still haven't lost three games in a row in regulation, which is just ridiculous.
You know, I'm going to vote for who Chris said because it's Chris's final show with us.
There you go. Okay. All right. So, Chop, where's your vote?
I'm gonna go with Nil.
Okay, so we got a split award. Jim Nil and Pete DeBoer, the Dallas Stars, win that one. Okay, let's go Rookie of the Year. We got Derek Lively, Wyatt Langford, or Logan Stankoven. Stankassen.
Well, Langford is out. Well, he had
Langford
a late
closed
surge.
Really strong.
Yeah. How are Stankies, like, how is he doing production wise, Chop? You have a feel for it? What do you think, Stankoven?
Stankoven's great, but I don't think he pairs up with the other two there.
All right.
In my opinion.
I will go, God, I love Lively so much. He's my favorite Dallas Maverick because of his personality. Wyatt did close. I'm going to go Lively. Lively is going to be my Rookie of the Year.
I'm going to vote Lively as well. What do you got, Chop?
I think Lively, overall, the end of Wyatt's season was tremendous. He did, his OPS plus was a 111, which is...
He was good.
That's pretty good. He matters more to the Rangers' success long term, just because of the, you know, like you're not a ball dominant player.
Yeah,
Lively's not a ball dominant player. He's more of a role guy. But right now it's Lively.
All right. And so what do you got, Chris? Is that a clean sweep 4-0?
That's a clean sweep. They couldn't have made it to the finals without Derek Lively. So that puts him, that clears him over Langford.
Clean sweep. Couple more nominees here, or a couple more categories. Breakout Player of the Year nominees. We have Josh Smith from the Texas Rangers. Rico Dowdle from the Dallas Cowboys. Thomas Harley from the Stars. And then Cody Bradford from the Rangers.
Woo!
Oh, I think it's Harley.
Who would you vote, Chris?
Harley's a beast. I mean, he's so the most reliable. The most reliable Stars defender next to Miro.
And he got trashed in 2023.
Yeah. He got trashed. I have to go with Dowdle, though, because he could have had 1,500 yards if they didn't give trash carries to Zeke.
There we go. Yeah.
Running backs at the start of the season.
Let it fly.
He could have had 1,500 very easily.
How did Josh Smith finish?
Pretty.
He had cooled off, but he played well.
Silver Slugger?
Yeah, he did. But he had cooled off a little bit near the end of the year. But he overall hit better than I think they ever anticipated.
I'll say Josh Smith.
I'm going to go just because I remember how much slander there was. Money Puck doesn't have numbers on this, but I remember how much slander there was on Thomas Harley, where it was just the dude. They were like, the dude can't play. And then last year he became such a big part of it. So I'm going to go Thomas Harley. All right. Last two categories here that we're going to get to. Quote of the year and athlete of the year. Which one would you like to start with, Sean?
Quote.
Quote of the year. All right. Here I've got seven nominees here. All right. We'll be all in. Jerry Jones.
Oh.
Talk about D's nuts. Trayvon Diggs. We was burned out. DeMarcus Lawrence. We're a damn good football team, Micah Parsons. Jalen is their best player, Jason Kidd, trying to troll the Celtics in the finals.
Oh.
Arguably the best offensive backcourt in the history of the NBA in Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. That from Stan Van Gundy. Or Luka Doncic to Rudy Gobert, you can't effing guard me.
All in.
All In is, I think this is the easy one.
All In will live in infamy.
That's going to be as big as any quote that we've had from Jerry.
It's absolutely All In. I think number two might be the You Can't Guard Me.
Yep, that was a huge moment. All right, last one. Athlete of the Year, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Micah Parsons, Corey Seager, or Miro Heiskanen.
It's not Micah. It's not Kyrie. Oh, we're counting Seager with the World Series appearance?
Nope. This is just how insane he played in general when he was healthy last year. Because this is just 24. I think it's Luka.
It's Luka or Miro.
Yeah. I'm not giving it to Corey.
I'm going to vote Luka. Got to the finals. Even if it ended poorly, he got to the finals and was dominant against the Timberwolves.
Well done, Bobby Roberto Bell with the Sean and RJ Sports Awards for 2024. Did he just convince me to have a third child? And how emotional did Mike McCarthy get? And what could be our final interview with the head coach ever on the morning show? Mike McCarthy, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, previews the Commanders next. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show here on Sean and RJ. This is DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, and the Coach's Show is brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys Commanders on this radio station, pregame starting at 9 a.m., kickoff with Brad and Babe at noon. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How was vacation?
It sucked. I always tell fathers, don't have kids or get a lot of nanny help. So don't have them till you're really rich. They've been sick for about a month. So it's been torture, Coach. But thank you for asking.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How many diapers? Like
good family time. Huh?
Yeah. How many diapers did you change percentage wise out of 10 diapers? Did you change 2, 3? Were you just in the office a lot?
I'll just say this. I changed the diaper every opportunity I had, but I mean,
there were many
that
opportunities.
Probably equated to what, 10%, 20%?
And then
I didn't have a problem with it, but yeah, I have a job that, you know, we work a lot.
Yeah. And then I got a youth sports problem. You know, Choppy's all baseball dad here, and I don't want to sit outside at 8 a.m. in 100 degrees. And RJ says, no, that's the best part. And I know you love attending and participating in the youth sporting events around here, but the practice, the schedule, isn't it too much? They practice more than you guys do.
No, I think it's incredible. I mean, the youth sports are in Texas, especially Dallas, I'm so impressed with. I do love it. I love watching my kids practice. I love watching them play games. There's nothing like it.
All right. Maybe I'll have a third one then. You talk
more. Yeah, you need to come around.
My wife will send you a thank you card. Coach, a lot of there's the list of incentives is going around the league of what player can hit this and that. How do you approach that? Do you sit down and go, I'm going to get my guy this? Is it a front office discussion where sometimes maybe that type of payment doesn't want to be kicked out? How do you approach the whole incentive thing, if at all?
You know, to be honest with you, the financial part of it is, you know, I'm not really involved in that. I couldn't tell you with, you know, the contracts, the specifics of our players. I mean, usually when, you know, I'm asked to speak on it is something like today, but yeah, I'm not totally engaged with their incentives, but I mean, I am aware if Rico, you know, looking to, you know, hit 1,000 yards, you know, or, you know, CD hitting 1,000 yards. I mean, those things are you're definitely statistical goals, or because, you know, it's part of the analytics, you know, profiles that we get each and every week on our desk on Monday and Tuesdays.
Are you the one that delivers the Pro Bowl news first, or have these guys gotten that information? I saw a video of Eric DaCosta letting Derrick Henry know and stuff. Do you get that info first to deliver it to the guys? And if so, how much of a joy is it for them still?
I mean, every place is different. In the way it's done here, Jerry delivers the news, and then we follow up in the morning with a presentation and a team meeting.
Mike McCarthy joining us here at 105 through the Fan. You know, in a game like this where, you know, the standings don't matter, how do you judge and gauge and use players that normally don't get a lot of snaps and giving them snaps this week versus using the guys that got you to week 18 all year?
Well, that's a great question. I think just like anything, You know, practice does matter, and you know, it's about creating opportunities because you know, you go through the whole season. You know, long before this point, where you have players that are battling every week, and you know they're not on the 48. You know, so that's tough for those guys each and every week. So, you know, it's not like you just have 48 players or 49 players each week that you know, make it to participate in the game. So, you know, that matters. You know, a great example of that would be Deuce Vaughn. I mean, there's, you know, Deuce is always, you know, battling to be up each week, and then it, you know, it, situation usually comes down to special teams. But you know, but he practices. I mean, you know, you can see he's improving. He's getting better and better. But you know, you have that pretty much throughout your football team with your young players.
Coach, you know, we in the media, we've probably asked you and Jerry dozens of times about Trey Lance, when's Trey Lance going to get a shot? You know, is that something where that question, though, even as a competitor, has ever been posed to you guys by Trey himself? Like, hey, am I going to get a shot to step in this week?
I think not as a direct, but I think just like anything, you know, actions speak louder than words. And when I see in Trey every single day, is he's always prepared. You know, he prepares as if he is, you know, going to get that opportunity. And your whole quarterback room has to prepare that way. And that's part of why it's structured the way it is, where, you know, everybody has a role in there, you know, throughout the week of preparation to make sure we're all engaged. Because, you know, there's a lot that goes into game planning each week. No one has more responsibility than the quarterback position. And Trey is always prepared to be ready to go.
What's been different about Trey now versus when you first saw him walk on the field last year?
Oh, I just think, you know, his fundamentals. I think clearly, you know, everybody teaches a little different. You know, how the footwork is tied to the perimeter routes. You know, the command at the line of scrimmage. You know, the communication network is different for every offense. So, you know, all those things. So, I mean, he's improved in every area, and that's, you know, that's just a credit to, you know, his hard work. It's a credit to Scott Tolzien. You know, these men put a lot of extra time. You know, they're down on the Ford Center field here in about 15 minutes, you know, going through a pre practice before work. So, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of time that's put in to play in the quarterback position, and Trey and actually Will's down there, will be down there also this morning. But these guys put a lot of extra time in.
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Mike, I think it was actually Ted Thompson who had given an interview in the past and said, when you're looking at smaller school guys, for instance, on tape coming out in the draft, you need to see them walk on water because of the level of competition. You need to see them play above such a high level. When you're evaluating at practice and you're trying to determine a guy who competitively is going to take a starting job or anything like that, do you have to see them perform so high above in the practice setting, or is it just a straight, all right, this guy's been better than this guy, so he's going out there on the field?
Well, I think it's really a universal evaluation question. I mean, when you're watching anybody compete, you know, who they're competing against is always part of the, you know, the equation of putting a grade on somebody. I mean, that's always been the case. I mean, that's some of the best evaluations. And I know what I've been experienced is, you know, you're watching another guy and you notice somebody else. I mean, I remember we were watching Derek Carr coming out a few years back, and then, you know, halfway through the tape, it's like, well, who the hell's the receiver? You know, and it was Devontae Adams. So, I mean, yeah, so you're always in tune with, you know, who they're playing with, who they're playing against. But yeah, definitely that's part of the evaluation formula.
Coach, we were looking at some of the analytical numbers about, you know, in recent weeks, for instance, against Tampa a couple weeks ago, you guys were running tighter formations than you had on average this year. There were more four receiver sets, I think, in that game than there had been in recent games. You know, you started running Kevontae Turpin a little bit more inside than it looked like had been used this year. Is some of that stuff lately just been matchup dependent, or are you tweaking some things and saying, you know what, let's see if we can have some success with this and trying to figure out some stuff that might work heading into next year as well?
You know, couple things. Number one, you know, it's you're always game planning against your opponent. The health of your offense and defense really factors in to that more than you would think. And you know, just the things that you feel better about what each player can do and things you might want to stay away from. So I mean, there's just a lot of different variables in that. You know, as far as Turpin, I mean, we've been running outside zones and edge plays with him, so that really hasn't. I mean, you know, if he cuts it back in the inside, that's you know, that really isn't an inside run. But so that's been the same. But we have, you know, always been conscientious of trying to get the, you know, the ball distributed to the perimeter guys, and you know, sometimes you know, a player's opportunities based on game plan are going to be higher than, you know, higher one week to the next. You know, and obviously with CD out, you know, we're definitely looking for the other guys to take advantage of the opportunities, because, you know, CD was always our lead focal point as far as ball distribution. So, yeah, and the formations of, you know, how we need to run the ball, how I like to run the ball. I mean, you know, all those factor in how we line up each and every week.
Mike McCarthy brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company here on DFW Sports Station with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. I was thinking about this with Jaden Daniels, and we always talk about this time of year, the rookie wall. Is the rookie wall a thing? Is it more of a thing with a 17-game season? And how do you approach that if it is a thing, Coach?
Well, in Jaden's case, I hope it shows up this week. It wasn't in place against Atlanta. But no, I that's real. I think that's, you know, things you watch on an individual basis. That's an important, you know, focal point, particularly for the assistant coaches and the support staff. You know, that's part of that, you know, communication, staying engaged with your guys. And, you know, and it's definitely something that I'm aware of, you know, from a big picture as far as scheduling. You know, you have to, you know, factor in, it's not as much for the rookies too, but it's, you know, this time of year and, you know, playing on Thanksgiving every year. And, you know, because December is always, you know, the point where you got to be really on top of, you know, the players' practice, you know, their workload capacity and just the efficiency has to be the highest of the season. So, yeah, all those things play into it. And the rookies have the biggest challenge because, you know, they've never been through the length of this season. And it's the longest year of their life. You know, they play their senior year, prep for the combine, everything goes into that. And then they got to, you know, train a different way for that. And then the combine's over, and then they go right to a mini camp. And then, so they're back into the football, and, you know, that leads all the way up into the training camp. And, you know, their training camp's longer than they've been accustomed to. And they play 20 games at least. So, yeah, that's a tremendous threshold for rookies to get over in this league, and you have to be in tune with that.
How do you weigh your competitiveness versus your friendship with DQ with the playoff and postseason berth?
What do you mean?
You just outright joy for Coach Quinn making the postseason, or there's a little NFC East like, yeah, congratulations, man. Your competitiveness versus your friendship with Dan and happy for him getting into the postseason.
Yeah, I think like anything, when it comes to competing, you know, I'm looking forward to competing against Dan and his team. And but on a personal level, you know, you're always happy for, you know, to see your friends do well. But, you know, I definitely want to make sure we're doing better than he is in the future. But I am happy for Dan.
Coach, you've said all year you're not going to discuss your contract situation. So instead of looking ahead to anything like that, just kind of reflective and looking back over the last 5 years, what has this 5 years been like for you in Dallas as a coach and as a family man, kind of, you know, setting his family here in North Texas? What do you look back over the last 5 years and reflect on in Dallas?
Oh, I mean, it's been a great experience for our family. You know, the start was, you know, different than anything, you know, any of us could ever imagine, you know, with the pandemic and, you know, and the family not, you know, being here the first, you know, year or so. So that was a very tough start, to say the least, both personally and professionally, just to, you know, start a football program during that year, you know, clearly, you know, wasn't ideal, and it didn't go very well either. So, I'd say it was a rough start. But I felt like year two, we got the program, you know, going in the right direction and had, you know, have done a lot of good things, you know, over the course of these 4 years. You know, this year was, you know, the challenges were high, and you know, we didn't get through them to the point that put us in the playoffs. So, you know, that's a bit of a disappointment. But this has been a great experience for my family. My family, really enjoys, you know, living here. I can't say enough about the, you know, North Dallas, the city of Dallas. You know, PCA is a phenomenal school. I can't say enough about the, you know, the culture that they have over there. And it's been an awesome experience for our family.
Is it about what you expected it was going to be? I mean, you can never like really tell what a job is going to be like until you're in it. But I mean, the minutia that gets, you know, talked about here, is it about what you expected or more?
I mean, the radio shows are a pain in the ass. Other than that, it's about what I thought it'd be. But no, it's the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's one of a kind. I love coming to work every day, and I think it's, you know, doing this as long as I've done it, that's a gauge for me. If I don't jump out of bed, then, you know, it's time to, you know, maybe do something else. But I love getting here. Love here, getting there early. I love the players, the coaches, and you know, this is what it's all about. And my family, you know, that this, you know, the city, you know, I've been to Dallas over the years, so I've always liked coming here, and I've been down here on a personal level, you know, a lot of times, you know, both Dallas and Austin. So, but living out here in the North Dallas has just been awesome. I don't know if, you know, this is such an incredible place to raise a family, so. It's been an awesome experience for us.
Coach, we know you're all about, you know, championships. Do you just view it as, do you view it through that lens and deciding whether it was a success or not? Or you allow the gray area to come in and you're like, no, didn't win a title so far, so not a success. How do you view it?
Well, definitely. I think you clearly, you know, once you're able to, you know, lift the Lombardi Trophy, there's really nothing else to do this for, in my opinion. That's my approach, and that's what makes me go every day. But I'm not ignorant to the fact of levels of success, because you have to achieve different levels of success, and what you learn through those experiences, you know, there's different devils at every level, and that's why I think clearly handling success is the biggest challenge in our game. But yes, I mean, as we're sitting here today, this is not where we expected to be, but this is where we are. So there's a lot of value in going through the adversity that we have gone through, and it'll definitely pay forward, especially most importantly for the young players.
Well, look, on a personal level, just, you know, for radio nerding out purposes, we thank you again. Definitely much more enjoyable than some of the past times we've done this throughout our 15 years with people. And we thank you for putting up with us with the ups and downs and all the difficult and hard questions and the personality that you gave us along with the story. So we appreciate that, Coach. Are we doing it again next year?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. It'd be awesome. No, you guys are great. And I just want to wish everybody a happy new year.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Good luck on Sunday, man.
Thank you, man.